Hello, lollies. Welcome back to another podcast. I'm very excited because I have a very special guest. Oh, wait, did I already say that? Yes, but I have a very special guest with me today. Da, 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 da.
Do I say myself? I'll just say Addy.
Addy, a baddie. So today, guys, as you know from the title, cutting my hair and deleting Instagram. Bum, bum, bum. You're like, what?
I know, pretty ominous.
I didn't cut my hair. I know you guys are like, wait, you didn't cut your hair and delete Instagram. But Addy here did. This is Lollies and Gloss. She's gonna tell us about her story because it's quite interesting. And that's kind of why I wanted to bring her on the podcast. I was just very inspired by the story and really connected to what she had to say and what she went through. So tell us a little bit about high school and how short you really cut your hair. I don't know if you can say the inches.
But. Yeah, I mean, I could just tell you. Okay, so a little bit about me. When I was in high school, I was a theater kid. I was, in fact, a theater kid, and we were doing Mary Poppins, and I got cast for the role of Michael, the little boy, and that did a little damage on my self-confidence, but also it was like, oh my gosh, I'm so talented, I'm like gonna be a lead, but it was also like, wow, I got cast to be a little boy, and that hurt it a little bit. So the director asked me to cut my hair like a little boy, and I'd always been interested in it. I'd always been like, okay, I want to know what it would look like with a short haircut, and so I did it. I cut my hair really short. And at the time when I was 16, I didn't wear a lot of makeup. I didn't wear any makeup really. I was wearing pretty baggy clothes. It was just my style. And it was really fine when I had long hair. But when I had short hair, I just did not feel feminine. I did not feel pretty. And I did it for the role, obviously. You know, the artist has to do what she's got to do for the art. But as soon as the play was over, it really sucked. I was my confidence was very low. And at the time, I was getting bullied by a group of guys at school. And I just heard a lot of things about, they would just tell me that I was ugly, that I was flat, that I looked like a little boy, all these different things, which I was just like,
it's awful.
It was really awful. And so I don't know. I felt very bad about myself, and I started attaching a lot of my self-confidence to my hair. And as slowly as it grew and grew and grew, I started getting more and more confident. And there were other things like outside of the realm of hair. You know, I left school or high school when I was 16, and I started to take classes at the community college. And so that was better because I wasn't around high schoolers anymore. And, you know, I got a job. So like other things were changing as well. But really I could attribute a lot of my self-confidence to the amount it grew was the amount my hair was growing. And
that's so interesting.
Yeah. And so for the past, I don't know, it's been, I'm 19 now, almost 20. It's been like 4 years since I really cut my hair. And I had a fear of cutting my hair. And it was just, I always kept it long, and I hadn't had it long throughout my entire childhood, mm-hmm. you know, but I had it long for the past 4 years. And I cut it this week. I cut it, ooh, yeah, I cut it real,
good.
And thank you. I cut it really short. I mean, not really short, not like Michael and Mary Poppins short.
I thought you were going to say Michael Jackson. I was like, what?
It's a really good comparison to make, but no. Can you imagine? No, so
I was like, it's about Michael Jackson, like.
It's about that.
No, we but can... it's really cute. It's...
And well, I don't know. You'll post something on the Instagram about what my hair, what I looked like when I was 16.
No, because she told me about it. I was like, yeah, I can't be that bad. She's tripping.
No.
And then, like, no, but it really is. It's extremely short. It's not just a little short.
Well, what I had to play the role of a little boy. Like a small child, a small male child. And and the fact that I pulled it off, you know, and people, and I mean, like it felt, it was good and bad, you know, it felt good to hear from people like, wow, you did such a great job in the play. And then people were like, I had no idea that you were a girl, you know, all
oh
these
my
things,
God.
Which is like, I don't know. And that just carried on for the next year until my hair really grew out. I don't know. I would get comments from strangers, you know, like, I mean, it's not a big deal because
no, but that is like,
but people would like deliberately ask me for my pronouns, even if they didn't ask other people, which I'm a big fan of using pronouns and everything, but it would be like, oh man, you like, no one knows that I'm a girl. And I don't know. It was just odd. So anyways, I cut it this week. And it's down to, like, my mid-neck, almost my shoulders. And I just, I don't know, I feel like myself again. I feel feminine, I feel sexy, and I feel like I've really reclaimed what, like, my hair means to me. And that's that it's awesome. Not, you know, it's not all about the length of my hair to make me feel feminine or self-confident. It's just, like, I am, because I'm self-confident and I'm feminine because that's the way I
feel.
That's
how you
inside.
Feel, yeah. I love that.
And it's not an outside projection. And it becomes an outside projection because I feel it on the inside, you
exactly.
know?
And you see tons of women with short hair that are extremely feminine and extremely hot. I'm trying to think of... The only person that comes to mind is Amber Rose.
Amber Rose, for sure. For sure. Remember Lily Collins when she had her really short hair? That was definitely an inspiration.
Oh, Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz too.
But I didn't.
Yes.
But I don't know Lily Collins with short hair.
Lily Collins, she had really. She looked like Audrey Hepburn, and that was definitely an inspiration for my short hair. Except that I did not wear makeup back then, mm-hmm. and so I don't know. It just was not a. It was not a very feminine look, and it was. I mean, it was fine, and I wish that I don't know. Yeah, cutting my hair.
You
now,
faced your fear,
feeling,
dude.
Yeah,
like
really
last week.
Fear.
That's
yeah.
That's huge.
And it feels so good. I feel like myself again, and it's been great. Yeah,
that's awesome. It looks really good, guys.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So we were kind of speaking about empathy for our younger selves. Obviously, for me, 15 to 18, even 19, I was so self-conscious. Was not like I would maybe I could appear confident, but I truly didn't feel self-love. And you were telling me kind of about your experience with empathy for your younger self, because we obviously look back at our younger selves and cringe.
Yeah,
because we were cringy.
Yeah,
I was so cringy. Like even my YouTube, there was a point where I wanted to delete every YouTube yeah. video because it was my younger self. Mm-hmm. I was like, ugh, who the heck is that?
Yeah.
So. You were telling us, you were telling me about lifespan integration therapy. So can you tell the listeners a little bit what that is?
I mean, I felt the same way. Like, I don't have any pictures on my phone from from when I was probably 13 to 16. Like, I have zero pictures on my phone just because it's so painful for me like that. Which is so sad. I mean, it's so sad to really dislike who you used to be. But that she was 13, she was 14, she was 16, you know, she was just a young girl trying to make her way through life. And I'm going to talk about like having empathy for my younger self. So obviously I said this before, when I was 16, I was bullied by a group of guys, and it did a number on my self-confidence and just the, I don't know, my identity and how I felt about myself in general. And so when when I was leaving high school and I was getting out of that, my mom's a mental health therapist. And so she was like, hey, I really think you should see a therapist. I think that there might be some trauma and it would be good for you to do this exercise. And lifespan integration therapy, it was really good. It was pretty exhausting. It's you go in for a session with a therapist, like an hour-long session, and you bring in memories from each year of your life. I mean, this is how I did it. I am not
What do you
a
mean by memories?
Memories like, I mean, obviously you can't remember things from when you were one or two, but you can just bring in like imagination about what you might have been doing when you were one or two. So when I can't remember what mine was for when I was one, but when I was two, it was like crawling around on the ground and playing out in the grass and doing things that a 2 year old would do, you know? And so you bring in, like, I brought in like a list of memories from each year of my life. And slowly they get more coherent as you get older, obviously. And the therapist takes you, like, through each of your memories a few times, and you remember each thing year by year by year, and you really get into it, and it's kind of a meditative practice almost, where you're, like, really immersing yourself in the memory of when you were 1, 2, 3, all these different things. And it's a good way to kind of synthesize your life almost. So you take all the different parts of your life, all the different memories, and the memories, I mean, I chose an array of memories. I chose positive ones, I chose negative ones from all years of my life. And then when I was 16, I chose the memories that were more painful to me. And so it's a really good exercise in taking yourself through each year of your life, almost from a third person perspective. So you're kind of seeing, I mean, this isn't exactly what lifespan integration therapy is, but the way that it helped me was seeing me as a different Addie every mm-hmm. year of my life, you know, and seeing her as somebody that's different from the person I am now. But she still existed, and she was still very important. And I think that was very helpful for me in having empathy for my 16-year-old self and my 15 and 14-year-old self when I was really down and I didn't like myself very much. I felt.
Do you have any specific reasons, like, or memories, say, like, when you were 8 or 9, was there a specific year where you're like, oh, that's when that started, or that's when I, because if you're telling me this right now, even though I haven't gone through that and done the full practice, I can recall, like, when my insecurity started, exactly what age.
You know, I was pretty, maybe around 13 when I stopped doing middle school, or not stopped doing middle school, but when I was done with middle school and I went into high school, there were every middle schooler goes through major insecurity, and I was really awkward. Like, I was not cool. And I didn't have a lot of friends, and I think I was just, I don't know, I was insecure. Even, I mean, when I was in elementary school too, like, there were little things. I didn't have many body image issues, but there were still mean boys at school. Boys have always really affected me for some reason, and they haven't liked me many years of my life. So, you know, so it's just been, so I think that it's just always been kind of a trigger for me, like, and then when I was 16, when it really got bad, but yeah, I don't know. What about you? When did, like, you can pinpoint? Mm-hmm. Mine was definitely when I was 16, but if it was younger for you.
I think mine was the end of fifth grade, we had kind of a end of the year party. We're going into middle school, so all the new kids were going into middle school, and there was this new girl who was, like, really popular. All the boys were talking about her. She was really pretty. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, I never really questioned my body or anything like that. I was always a bit insecure. Like I said in my last podcast, I put my hair in front of my face, but it wasn't that I didn't think I was pretty or that I didn't, I don't know. It was just something that I did. I've always had a weird thing with, like, hiding my eyes. That is a secret to why I like my sunglasses. I don't like people looking in my eyes. It's weird, but eye contact is something that for some reason it's a privilege to me. Like, even strangers on the street, I genuinely feel uncomfortable looking at people, strangers in the eyes. I don't know why. I'm like, am I Medusa?
stone, you're done.
But I keep the glasses on.
It's probably better for everybody. Just kidding. If you're turning everybody into stone.
So yeah, it was then, it was a swimsuit party. So I was in my swimsuit. I saw a photo of, like, a week after, and, like, of what I looked like in the swimsuit. And I was kind of chubby, I'll just be honest. I looked at that and I was unhappy because I was looking at everyone else. No one was chubby. Like, they were all slim girls. So I think, you know, that summer and the summer after that, I was very conscious with my body. And for me, everything, like, it's weird how you associated your hair with your confidence. With me, it was my body. That And I mean, I did do workout videos. That's how I got followers. That most of the people that are listening to this did those workout videos. Mm-hmm. And they helped me because yeah. I was doing something positive and I was helping people feel good about themselves. But it was also a negative thing for me because I was looking at, like, just looking at my body, like, constantly, on camera. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that did affect me. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard. I don't know.
And as young girls, I feel like there's so much attention paid to our bodies and what we look yes. like. I don't know the young male experience, but at least for young girls, I'm like, that is an unfair amount of attention that was paid to our bodies. I was always very, very thin growing up and pretty, it was not very curvilicious, let's just say that. And I got a lot of crap for it. I don't know. And people would wrap their fingers around my wrists and be like, you're so thin and tiny. And I put so much, I mean, people, you know, think of it as a good thing, you know?
Yeah, I know.
But I put so much stock into it. And I would, and as soon as I started gaining a little bit of weight and I got more curves and all these different things, it changes your mindset, you know? It's like, I don't know, when your bodies change and it's very normal and you go through like a ton of different puberties and exactly. like your body changes all the time.
And everyone has a different, like, journey.
Yeah, but exactly. But there's such a spotlight on it, and it's I don't know. It was very unhealthy for me when I was.
So you younger. Were so you liked that people were commenting on that, because I can tell you that I liked when people were commenting that yeah. about me, because this is the thing. Since everything I posted was on social media, people saw every little like change in my body.
Yeah.
People would DM me, oh, you gained a lot of weight. Like, you don't look that good anymore. Like, I would get a lot of DMs like that. So, I was so self-conscious when I gained yeah. weight. I would go through gaining weight, losing weight, gaining. And I don't know. I associated a lot of who I was with that, which.
Well, because people comment on it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, good or bad.
And they do notice it. And I'm like, that.
Yeah.
It was something that, they do notice it. And they make points about it. Even the other day, someone made a point about it to my friend. And I was like, damn, like, people really, it's just weird that we really, I don't know, notice
those
things.
We just obsess over it. I think, and it's sad that we obsess about it in other people too. But I mean, it's true. You notice things but there's so much more to a person than their body and the way that they look. And I'll talk a little bit more about like giving empathy to my younger self, because I think we're both seeing like, oh my gosh, that girl, speaking in third person, that Gabby, that Addie was hurting so much, you know?
Yeah, like, so unhappy.
So unhappy, so hurt by the world, so hurt by the things going on around her. And I don't know, in my 19-year-old body, in your 20-year-old body, it's like, wow, I wish I could just give her a hug, you know, and be like, you know, you're awesome. You're awesome. You're a little awkward. You're a theater kid.
There aren't
any theater kids out there. I was one too. but like you know, or you did these funny workout or whatever it was. And it's like, I wish that I could just be like, you're doing your very best in life. And that's all you can do. And I'm proud of you. And I'm excited for what you're going to become. But just being proud and being empathetic towards our younger selves. Because, I mean, I still have those, like, I still don't have any pictures from when I was a little younger than 16. And I don't have great memories from those times. And I wish that those years were a little bit fuller, or that I could see them in retrospect now and just be like, wow, she was a real person, and I would want to give her the empathy that she wasn't getting from the outside world. She wasn't getting love from the world at that point. And that needs to be on me. That needs to be my responsibility now, because that's what I can do, you know, as a 19-year-old, I can now be like, I can help her, you know, and help my younger self. Oh, shoot.
Oh, sorry. So good.
But yeah, I think that's important to love your younger self. And it helps you in your present self.
And also, I don't know, it kind of helps me see my sister. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like she was never nearly as weird as me.
I know, mine isn't either. Both of us have little sisters, and yeah. my little sister's awesome. She's amazing.
Oh, I love that. Mine just always been, Francesca, it feels weird saying mine, like it's my child or something. But she's always been so, she's always been way smarter than me, way cooler than me. Just a savage, like, without trying. Like, not... I'm like, damn, I wish I could do that, but I can't.
I know.
But, yeah, no, I think it is really important to have empathy for yourself. And that's something that I learned, actually, honestly, very recently. Probably in the last 5 months. Because before that, when I was living in LA, I wanted to literally delete every part of myself. And... you just have to realize that's all part of the journey. Like, the cringy parts, the bad parts, the sad parts, they all make you who you are now. And it makes you able to relate to other people and to tell your story, which is really important. Because people that don't experience that or never had some sort of struggle, I feel... I mean, everyone will have struggles throughout their life. But I don't know. I think it matures you quite young, which I think it's a good thing. I personally think it's a good thing. So.
Both grown a lot from it. How do you feel, like, you know, looking back on the person you were last year when you were sick, when you were going through a ton? Like, do you have empathy for that Gabby?
Oh, my God, yeah. Because she was... I can't believe she made it out, to be honest. Mm-hmm. No, I have... And that's when I stopped doing... Speaking of stopping deleting Instagram, because she deleted Instagram. We'll talk about that after, but... I stopped social media, as you guys know. I was posting on YouTube every week for 4 years of my life. Mm-hmm. It was my job, and posting on Instagram every day. Like, that's so exhausting. But I stopped everything because, first off, I mean, I was incoherent. Like, I read Addie my journal. Like, can you, like, I was not a person. Like...
You were going through it. You were going through
it. And just seeing things. Like, there was no way. Even when I remember I tried to... My mom was like, you have to film something. I remember I had a brand deal or something. I filmed this video. And the whole time I'm like, there's robots watching me behind the screen. Like, my little sister is in danger. Because I filmed it with her. Like, that. Yeah. Those are the thoughts that I would think of anytime. So, yeah. That's not, to me, that's not even a person. I know that sounds weird, but it's like, I can't believe that I was that person. Because if you saw her in real life, you wouldn't, it's unrecognizable. I think that's why I lost a lot of friends. I mean, also I wasn't able to communicate, but it was just not me. It's someone who has experienced a lot of trauma that they can't relate anymore to anything. Like, I remember, though, this happened, and this made me really, really sad. So I saw one of my old friends, and everyone was fine. Damn, I feel like I'm about to cry. I'm not going to cry. But it feels like that now thinking about it. I remember we were all at this house. It was all guys, though. Anyways.
Just kidding. You don't hate men.
But anyways, and I was with my friend. She was, like, all dressed up, like, you know, looking really cute. I was just, like, in my sweatpants, chilling. Mm-hmm. Not that I care, but I was just, like, I didn't really want to be there. And I still wasn't right in the mind. So, yeah, I didn't want to be there. But I wanted to see my friend because I didn't see him for a while. But he looked at me and he's like, it looks like you're suicidal. Mm. And I was like, I was silent. Because I was. But I was like, how... I was just confused. I was like, how can you tell that? And he's like, I can tell. Like, I don't know what he said. But I think he did, like, shrooms or something. Or some sort of, like, thing. But he kept saying it to me. Like, there's something wrong with... Like, you're suicidal. But but to have someone say that to you where it's like, I'm trying not to make it obvious that... I'm trying not to make everything about me, like, about the sickness and what happened. But that's the thing. Everyone could tell. Everyone could tell something's wrong with me. So I literally hid in my room for, like, a year. But, yeah, I almost cried. Like, I just, it was true. I was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, talking about empathy, I mean, I can't believe she made it out of that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think that I would be alive anymore. I genuinely really wanted to end it. Like,
yeah.
And I would, I would wake up, think about that. I would be pissed that I woke up because I just didn't want to wake up ever again. Yeah. And I don't feel like that at all anymore, yeah. at all.
Right.
Which I'm so grateful for. Yeah. But it's just weird that you can go to that level and still make it out. So for anyone, that's why I say, because I know people go through that. Everyone has some sort of trauma, but you really can make it out and have a completely different, like, I have a completely different life. I have a completely different life now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you couldn't, if you told me that, I would say, you're a fucking liar. Like, you're just like my imagination.
No. But I mean, it's so important. Be proud of yourself, you know? And anyone that's going through that right now, like, you'll make it out, but it's very important to be proud of yourself.
Yeah.
And to have empathy for your younger self. And it helps you have empathy for yourself in the present moment.
In the present
But, yeah, it's tough. It's tough out here, and
life hits you unexpectedly.
Yeah. Well, and it helps you have empathy for others, too.
Exactly.
When you can think about, I mean, we were just talking about our little sisters, and, like, I would do anything to protect my little sister, you know, and I was like, if any boy ever says anything mean to you, like, they're done. And I think that all the time, but I wish that there was somebody. I mean, my parents are amazing, but it's important to be that for yourself, you know, and be that protector for your younger self so you can do that for other people. I don't know. I mean, and you probably, like, in that situation, there's a Gabby out there somewhere that's going to give you a big hug, and when you were in that situation, when you were feeling suicidal,
Well, it was my family.
Yeah.
Which... That was, I mean, it just made me feel so grateful that I had them. But with my sister, she was very scared. I mean, the things that I did and the things that I would say, it is scary.
Yeah.
It's like someone that has schizophrenia suddenly at 19 years old. Like, what is wrong with her?
Mm-hmm.
So for a while, we didn't talk because, I mean, there was a point where I thought that she was, because she wasn't there when I came back from the hospital.
Got it.
She wasn't there. And I remember searching through all her bedroom trying, because she wasn't there. And I was so confused. I was like, where's Francesca? Like, I need my sister. Because I don't know, just the bond with your sister, it's untouchable.
Yeah.
So I remember I found her ID and I thought it said 2025. So I was like, oh my God, they transported me in a time portal.
Oh no.
And she's never, like, I'm never going to see her again. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was like, get her to me now. But I was like, you took her away. I genuinely thought they took her away from me. And I remember those 3 nights being the worst night, some of the worst nights of my life, because I do love my sister. And I know when we were younger, maybe we had a lot of differences, and I wasn't the best older sister, to be honest. I obviously was insecure and had a lot of problems, and I always kind of feel guilty because I feel bad that she had to see that, experience it. We've gotten so much closer over the last, like, 3 years, especially during COVID. But yeah, it was hard when I got sick because we weren't that close anymore, which is weird, but finally now we are, so.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, yeah, I mean, and you can do that in any situation. Like, you can make amends, you can love on other people. But yeah, that's really important. I'm glad. Should we talk about Instagram?
Yeah. So, Addie here deleted Instagram.
I did. I deleted TikTok too.
Yeah, TikTok, never been on it except now.
Yeah, I never posted anything, so it wasn't an issue with that. TikTok is its own other breed. I really do think it's changing our brain chemistry.
No, it is.
And I've noticed how I've been off of TikTok and Instagram for, I want to say 2.5 months, maybe more or less. TikTok, I've been off TikTok and I don't like my attention span has increased and improved. I can sit down and read books. I don't think about things like that anymore. I mean, I do, but it's just, I don't get into like mindless pipelines of just scrolling, you know, which is so easy. It was so easy for me. I would spend so long on TikTok every day, hours, you know, and I'm like, what did I do with my day spending hours on TikTok, you know? But, and now I don't do that anymore. So that's been great. But deleting Instagram was different. I first just deleted the app because I kind of thought I was like, oh, okay, then I won't get on it or anything. But then I decided to deactivate my account. Deactivate, not delete, because I will be going back to Instagram at some point. Maybe. But I don't know. I've been off of it for 2 months and I'm like, this is kind of great. I kind of don't ever want to go on it again.
And you don't have to. That's the thing.
Yeah, right. And there's so many...
I feel like... You think that you have to, kind of.
Yeah, because I did a peace out message. I was like, okay, I'm not going to be on Instagram anymore. Don't try to DM me or anything because I won't answer, obviously. And now no one can even find my account or anything. So many pros and cons, you know. Pros, I love that no one can stalk me on Instagram before I meet them or anything. Like, I don't know, if I go on a date
dude,
or if
but
I meet
don't,
a friend
okay,
or
so
something.
If huh? you're meeting someone on a date, like say you were using an app, wouldn't that be kind of sketch? Wouldn't they think that you're a fake person? But then I remember you said that you don't really
I don't use dating apps. I mean, it would be. And that's a con. I mean, in the digital age, like it's very easy to it's at the tip of your fingertips to find out anything you could ever want to know about a person, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so great to be so anonymous. I'm like, nobody knows who I am unless they know
nobody
me. You know?
Knows.
Nobody knows unless they know me.
Which, that's pretty sick.
It's fun. It's fun. And no one can stalk me. And yeah.
I just want to be the mysterious girl. I see that stuff all the time. I just want to be the mysterious girl. And gatekeep my entire existence. I was like, why do you say it? Like that's so weird. To, like, gatekeep my entire existence because no one's deserving of it. I'm like, okay.
I don't know.
Like, that's such a weird
way
to put
it's
it.
Just, yeah. I mean, it's not about that.
I don't
that.
Think that's
it's
how
about,
you think, though.
It's just about getting off of the internet.
Like,
and,
not
and,
making
and
that
letting...
your persona because it is. It is your persona. Everyone judges someone based on their Instagram. It's true.
Yeah.
Based on their friends, whatever they're posting, you have an immediate presumption of that person. I mean, it's impossible. You subconsciously or consciously. I mean, I know I have it consciously.
Definitely.
So I admit
definitely.
It. Like,
I would, and that was the thing. I was so deeply entrenched in social media in general, in Instagram and in TikTok. Like, I was spending hours on the apps. I was comparing myself to everybody that I saw. I was scrolling mindlessly for hours and hours, not doing anything with my mind, you know, except for...
Which is really weird.
Consuming like, and, shitting out information, you know? Sorry if I'm not supposed to swear on the podcast.
No. It's your log. It's like a free... It's a free-for-all.
You know, it was... thanks. Hey, guys. It was just...
Which is, like, you would be the last person that I would think that would do that. Not that it, I mean, everyone does, like, a lot, I mean, I get into those modes as well, but yeah. I wouldn't think that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I would, you know? And it was just, it was bad for me. And so I deleted it completely, and it's turning into more like, so it's been really good for me being off of TikTok, being off of Instagram, and now I'm seeing more and more ways that I can decrease my social media use because I have found alternatives.
Decrease
you
your
know?
Carbon footprint.
Decreasing my digital footprint. There are alternatives, you know. I'm using VSCO way more often. And I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, it's because I'm trying to be creative, and I like to post the creative pictures I take, which all in good, and some of it is because of that. But I also use it to stalk people. I mean, not to stalk people, but you know what I mean. To like watch, like to see what people are doing, or to see, to show people that I'm doing cool things and stuff. And I'm like, but that's not what, that's what I'm trying to get away from, is having to
so get it's kind of like prove people. Yeah, okay, I get exactly. it. So that makes sense.
So when I deleted Instagram, it was cool because it was like, oh, I no one's gonna know. Like, I went to Berlin a few weeks ago, and I was like, no one's gonna know that I went to Berlin, and I can just go to Berlin for myself, you know. But I was posting about it on Snapchat and Visco a ton, and I wasn't doing. I don't know. I mean, there's
so it's do you think nuanced, that you lit? So
but
you,
I was definitely
living to prove something. Okay,
yes,
even in that moment in Berlin.
But that's when I was posting things, that was my mindset.
That was your intent. Okay.
That was my intent, and that's what I'm seeing. And I don't know how it is for other people, but that was mine. And it was like, oh, check out whatever, wherever I was. And I was doing it so that people would think I was cool. And I'm like, more and more, I'm trying to get away from that. I'm like, I don't care if people think I'm cool. I don't care if people know what I'm doing. And at some point, I would like to get back on social media because I do like the creative aspect of it. I could talk about pros, but...
I think, no, I just want to kind of go off that, like, doing it to kind of get approval or for an eye. That's one of the main reasons why I stopped, because I realized literally everything that I was doing was for people to view it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily for people to think I'm cool. It was just to get views and, like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, for people to see, like, oh, I look good or this and that. And now, I don't know. I genuinely don't have that mindset at all. And I did lose followers. I do lose a lot of views. And I don't care. That used to really upset me. I used to cry about that. Mm-hmm. And waking up with anxiety, I would check Instagram, checking how many likes I got. Like, my day would determine how many likes I got.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that way anymore. I just want to be creative. And now I kind of do want to go back on social media because it really can, I don't know, being creative and being able to share your eye and inspire people is sick. And I think you can do that. I mean, whenever you're ready, it's whenever you're ready, but it's like, it's always there. That's the thing. And you can always use it.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have to use it now or, you know, I hate this like times stamp that we put it on, or, you know, so...
I think that as soon as I am completely free of comparing myself to others, and really caring what people think, I mean, obviously we're always going to care a little bit what people think, but really doing that, I think that's when I'll go back on Instagram and I'll start posting. I've also played with the idea of making a private Instagram or something like that, where it was only the people that I wanted to see. I would say the main con about being off of Instagram is that my world is very small.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to my family. I talk to my two best friends from home. And then I have a few friends here that I talk to really regularly and hang out really regularly and am very in touch with. Of course, there's my classmates, my professors. There's people that I'm like friends with that we go out with and stuff. But... if I was on Instagram, I'd be commenting on people's posts. I would be seeing what people were reacting to stories. You know, reacting to stories. I would be very connected. I would see what everybody's doing.
It is weird how social it is. Like in that, it is okay. Yeah, what everyone, how the world perceives me, but it is really like a social thing.
Yeah, and it's I still haven't quite figured out in my own brain if I think it's superficial or not, because. I see both sides. You know, I see how I'm like, okay, if I'm commenting on some rando's post and it's not, I don't really know them, but it was a pretty post and I'm like, so pretty, you know? I'm like, is that superficial or do I actually care? Like, it's hard for me.
So what's weird is like, I used to never comment on anybody and I think people would think that I was rude for not doing that, but I would like posts and... I don't know. I just never got the thing of commenting on every single person you follow because I would see though all my friends would do that and I didn't really know the people. So I felt weird doing it and like saying, even if I thought it was cool, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's like you're expected to. I don't know. It's
yeah. I mean, that's an interesting perspective. I think that, I don't know. I don't know. My world has become smaller. I am not as connected to people.
But hasn't that kind of made you more connected to the real world? Because you say that she was telling me that she, you know, talks to, sorry, it sounds weird saying she.
It's okay.
But you were telling me that you, you know, you talk to people at at shop markets. Like, what is it called? Market, mercatino, markets, coffee shops, just, you know, making conversations.
Yeah.
Do you think that that maybe could be?
Yes. Yes and no. I think that I'm connected to people in that way. I'm not, like, I was at a concert by myself this weekend. I went to the Lumineers and it was amazing, but I was all by myself. I just went alone. And I didn't have anything to scroll on my phone. There was nobody that was available to talk. And because I don't talk to a lot of people anymore, you know, just not over the phone. I also was in a long distance relationship for 3 months, and I think I got a lot of phone fatigue from that. And so I just try to stay off digital connectedness in general. But I talked to a bunch of people around me at the concert because I wasn't doing anything on my phone. So I just turned around to the people
who were
speaking English. And I was like, hey, you want to, like, what are you guys doing here? Are you like the Lumineers too? And they were like, yeah, obviously, we're at the concert. And I was like, okay, cool.
No, they suck, bro.
So I think that, but then there's things like that. So I met them, you know, I remember their names, but we don't follow each other on Instagram. I got one of their WhatsApp numbers, and they're texting me because they're coming to Rome. But it's not like we really know each other, and we'll probably never really know each other. And so there is that idea of if I had their Instagram, I'd probably stay in touch to some extent.
Yeah.
But for how long? Yeah. Why would I be staying in touch? I don't know. It's just, it's a debate about whether it's really superficial or not. And I think it's very dependent on the person. I think that some people...
Exactly. It's how you use it. And why you're using it.
Yeah. And those relationships to me are not as fulfilling as the ones that I'm having off of my phone, you know?
Yeah. I think that's so true. The only reason that I see it a bit different is because of work and because of the connections you can make.
Yeah.
And keep, like, people that I reached out to some people that I haven't talked to in years, but because I follow them on Instagram, they see my stuff, they answer. And there'd be, if I texted them, there'd be no answer. So that's the only thing that is, it's, I don't know, I see it a bit differently because it is like that, but I mean...
No, but I agree. There's definitely, like, there are a lot of people from home that I would like to see what they're up to and what they're doing on a regular basis, you know? I'd like to see what my coworkers are doing. But I'm not going to text them, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not going to, I should, and I think that that would be a great use of my time to catch up with people in person. I was talking to my mom, and she has a friend, a close friend, who's not on Facebook or anything, and all of her other close friends are on Facebook, and she was like, she is the only person that I really have to reach out to see what they're doing, or she'll text me and send me a picture of something, and it's so much more meaningful, because it's like,
no,
okay,
it
this
is
personal for you, I care about you, so I want you to see that I went on a hike this morning, or whatever it is, but it really makes your world very small, and it's just dependent on, I don't think I'm ready to make my world big again, but I think that there's a lot of merit.
Oh, that's
merit,
so
you
cute.
Know? I don't think that I'm there yet, and I don't know when I will be. But for right now, I'm happy with my tiny little bubble, you know. And I'm meeting people, and I'm getting fulfilled by those experiences, and then they're done, you know. They're done at some point, and that's okay with me. So I don't know. Maybe it's a little sad, but that's how I feel. I don't know. That's how everybody was before us.
No,
like,
I know.
It's
I know.
Not like
it is.
People in the
I
past.
I always try to ask my like Nonna, like, what was it like before, or even my mom. It's like you send letters.
Yeah.
You don't hear for like,
no. You don't hear for weeks and weeks
or months or years.
And you don't send letters to strangers that you meet at the club or something. You know. Like, that was, I mean, that's a thing.
Exactly.
You know? There were guys that I met in Amsterdam, or sorry, in Berlin, that were from Amsterdam. And I really liked them, and we really hit it off, and we hung out all night. And I have no idea what they're doing anymore. And I know that if I was following them on Instagram, I'd be at least a little bit in touch. And I don't know. I can't tell if I'm sad about that or not.
Oh, interesting.
It's interesting. I don't know. I'd have to hear from other people what they think. Do you think it's sad that I don't keep in touch? Or do you think it doesn't matter?
Do you think it's sad? I don't know. How should I feel? I'm trying to think of people that I have got Instagrams from the club. Usually I never talk to them again, so.
Right, exactly.
Or unfollow them, which is, like, just because I'm like, eh, I don't really care, like, and not that I, sorry, that sounds so, like, bad, but I mean, it was like, okay, they're trying to hook up or something, or, like, not even that they were that, like, we were just kind of, you know, drinking and dancing. Those are the people that I've gotten Instagrams from the club, but I can't, that was like a long time ago, so I can't think of a recent experience where I'm like, oh, I think maybe with, yeah, no, I can't think of it, because usually it is just like, okay, like,
we saw each other once. I mean, these guys, like, we were at a bar first, and so we talked for a really long time, that's different. We were like having like real conversation,
because the club,
and I know, like, that if I went to Amsterdam, like, that I would want to see them, you know?
Exactly. So that, okay, so that's the thing. Yeah. Because I have met up with people where I did, not even that I text them or anything, but it's like, oh, we're in the same place and we see it because we're on Instagram. And I have hung out with them, and that was so fun. Like, really cool, opportunities. Not, I mean, by opportunities, I mean, like, things that we, like, activities.
Yeah.
That sounds weird.
No, but I know what you mean. Absolutely.
Because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't have that, I wouldn't ever have gone there.
Right.
Like.
No, it's true. I think there's pros and cons, baby. Pros and cons.
Oh, I think this is quite a long episode here.
What are we at?
I don't know, but I think it's about, I don't know, but it's quite long.
Do the maths. Do the quick maths. Should we talk about living alone or?
Yeah, I mean, let's finish it off with that.
Let's do it.
Because we've hit every point.
Well, because with Instagram, I think it was, I live alone, and I've been living alone since, what month did I move here? August. And I think that I would, the ways that I would feel connected was through Instagram, you know? And when I was alone in my room all by myself, you know, I'd feel connected to people because I was on Instagram, and I really relied on it. And TikTok, too. I was just getting this long pipeline of just constant scrolling and all these different things. And this semester, I've been off of Instagram, and I'm also, I mean, there's other factors too. I'm a lot busier. I'm not in a long distance relationship anymore. And so I think there's parts of it that changed outside of just social media, but getting off of social media has really helped me. I feel like I'm spending my time more wisely. I'm reading, I'm doing work. I spend less time out of my apartment and stuff. And when I do spend time just in my apartment, like for an entire weekend.
You mean you spend more time out of your apartment?
More time out of my apartment. But when I do spend more time inside of my apartment, like for an entire weekend, I won't go out or anything.
No, I do that. I like it. I do that. Dude, I do that too, same. Just also because I started this. So it's funny that you say how you use Instagram. I use Instagram because I had I actually did have a private account, but it was like with 15,000 girls. Okay. But they're people that I don't know in the real life. They're listening to this right now. Mm-hmm. They're people all around the world, and we would go on lives. Like, this is what I would do. I would spend hours on lives with them. Just, we would talk about really deep things, like this podcast, talking about things that you don't talk about with your friends, really, or just random people. And that was my source of comfort. That was my, source of community and friendship and feeling loved and respected. And I just felt like I could be myself. And that community really taught me, okay, this is the benefit of social media.
Because
if I didn't have them, especially even when I was sick, I would still do lives, even though it was clear that I was not right. But they made me feel like I had people that genuinely cared if I was still here, which it's, and it was the same, for me, for them. Like, I genuinely loved them, and I loved hearing about just their different stories and their different experiences, like, what, I mean, even how we're talking today. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, living alone, I don't know, maybe I started living alone in January, and I kind of thought of starting this podcast in January, but then it started in February because I came, yeah, whatever, only a month late. I wasn't ready.
No.
I was so scared to start this, though.
Yeah, but. Yeah. But I don't know. There's it's gotten better. It's gotten better for me, and I'm glad that it's been good for you.
You feel I mean, well, I had a roommate. I don't know if I should talk about that, but
you had a roommate, and now you don't.
Yeah. And I like living alone. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've just and a lot of it is probably I've just gotten used to it. And I'm really busy. I'm really stressed about school, so there's lots of things in my mind.
But that's the thing. It kind of forces you to be busy. It forces you to be on top. You're thinking about yourself. There's no one you have to entertain or listen. Not listen to, but, like, you know what I mean. Like,
right.
Because you're alone with your thoughts.
Yeah.
So you have to be on top of it and organize that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know. It's nice, like, if I have a crazy day or if I'm a crazy week, I can just go home to my room and I don't have to talk to anybody. Yeah. And that's great sometimes.
And you can chill naked. Like,
yes. I really like having a very clean apartment.
Same.
And I keep it tip-top shrimp. And
like you would, okay, look around. You would, okay, yeah.
This is super clean.
She would, sorry. No, I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying a name, but it's like, this would be a mess. I'm not kidding, dude. Like, I would get yelled at because there's cups and a pot right there. She would say, you always leave the pot on the stove. I'm like, bro, it's literally clean. I scrub, like.
Yeah. I mean, it's all down to like. Number one, either living by yourself or finding a roommate that's super compatible with you. I'm living with a roommate next semester, and we've lived together before, and we're very compatible. Like, we keep it clean. We like living together. She's one of my best friends.
But she's not, like, crazy about, like, a fork being in
no. Yeah. No, she'll just wash it if she's bugged by it, you know?
But see, that's, yeah, exactly. That's not, okay, yeah, sorry. I could talk about this for so long.
Roommates, the roommate thing, it's like, I don't know. I would not be able, well, I guess I did for my first 2 years. I was about to say I could not live with somebody that I didn't know or I didn't know how we worked together. But for my first 2 semesters of college, I lived with, like, 3 different people. And I don't know. I did fine, but I think I got really lucky. I think I got real lucky.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's funny. But yeah, living alone, it's good. I think everybody needs to do it.
I like never want to not live alone, TBH.
Okay, yeah.
Unless like, well, obviously my boyfriend, but
yeah.
I like living alone because it's like.
It's nice.
It is nice.
It's super nice. I don't know. Especially when you have things going on, but you can make things to do. I think that was my issue last semester, is that I was like, I don't have anything to do, and I'm just gonna scroll on Instagram. And now I like, if I don't have anything to do, I read a good book or something, which I love reading books, but yeah.
Oh, actually, they were asking for book recommendations. Do you want to give your top 5? I don't know what number you want to do.
Yeah, I could. Okay. Right now, I'm reading Edward Snowden's memoir, and I did get Gabby on the Snowden train.
Yeah, now I actually do want to read the memoir.
You can borrow it after.
Awesome.
Because it's a physical book. Yeah, you can. She just watched the documentary, or like the movie that was made about him, and that one's really good. Really, really good. I don't know. I shouldn't explain it. People can just look it up on them by themselves.
Yeah, just.
I'm sure if you don't know who Edward Snowden is, look him up. He's an interesting dude. One of my favorite books of all time is Beneath the Scarlet Sky by Mark Sullivan. And it's a World War II historical, almost nonfiction. I think there's a couple fictional elements, but it's about this. It's about this boy who is living in Italy who before World War II and then during World War II. And it's his experience. I'm not going to give everything away, but it's his experience as a young boy and then a soldier in Italy during World War II. Another book that is another one of my favorites is Educated by Tara Westover. And that's the memoir of a woman who grew up in a, she grew up in rural Idaho in a very fundamentalist Mormon family. Mm-hmm. And had a very abusive childhood, didn't go to school until she
was... Oh, this is a book. I'm sorry.
What? Do you know this, this one?
No, but I feel like I've heard of it.
It's pretty famous.
I've heard of people, that kind yeah. of that story.
She didn't go to school and suffered a lot of abuse, and she ended up being able to educate herself a bit, and she took the ACT, and she was able to get into BYU, Brigham Young University, and she learned a lot. I think one of the things in her book that was a very interesting.
Do you have the physical book?
No, not with me. I have it at home.
Oh, that's okay.
But I'm sure you could find it somewhere. She went into her first, she went to a history class, like her first day of college. And that was when she realized how behind she was, because they were talking about the Holocaust. And she was like, what's the Holocaust? Oh my God. And they were like, they thought that she was being a Holocaust denier or something of the sort.
Oh my God.
And she was like, no, that just sounds so crazy. Like that can't be real, you know? And it obviously it was. And she just realized at that point, she was like, how behind she was and how, but she wow. ended up educating herself, and she went on to get her PhD and write books. And
that's all. Oh, I read really,
that one was really good. It was very awesome. Inspiring. Those would be my top three. I really love books, and I've read quite a bit.
I love that, too. I can tell you, I didn't read really during high school.
It's hard. I didn't read during high school either.
And now I'm starting to get into reading again. Mm-hmm. I'm reading such an interesting book. I'll get it for you.
While you're getting it, maybe I could talk about one more. I really like Kurt Vonnegut as an author. I'm reading Welcome to the Monkey House, and that's like a collection of short stories. Which one is this one?
This is called Psychedelic Apes.
Ooh.
But it's actually really interesting. So it's the weirdest theories of science and history.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know.
I like that.
It's all about, like, all the, wait, it's all I about, like, that. What happens if, like, what if the world, what,
can you read the back?
Yeah.
Could the dinosaurs like have died in a nuclear war? What if the world around
but these
us
are,
was
but,
a computer
but these,
simulation?
But these theories are based on scientific experts. It's
yes.
not just like us
no,
saying,
it's
like, can't
randomly
living in a cat box. Like, they're studied
no,
theories.
That's super cool. I would love to read that.
It's so interesting. I mean, especially with the metaverse, because it's talking about what if we just turn into a like complete virtual reality, or what if we're already living in that? Everything is a simulation. I mean, have you heard of the cat box, litter box theory?
No, what is it?
Okay, I
look up. I will.
Yeah.
We'll
talk about
that.
We can talk about that another time, because this...
The cat box theory. I know, books are... Yeah.
Litter box. Kitty litter box theory.
Kitty litter box theory. But you have so much time to read when you're not on...
It's true, dude.
I don't know. I love it. Well, and like, if there's nothing else to do, I'm sitting on a bus for 15 minutes or I'm waiting for class, just get out my book. And it's so nice.
But I do... Yeah, I do.
I like that one.
I really do need new books, so...
Well, I have a ton. You can borrow them. But yeah, because
I have to be
faves.
In a certain mood for this, because...
I'm a big...
I don't always want to read about this.
Yeah, no, I think that memoirs are really awesome, because
yeah.
it feels like a little bit educational, because you're learning about a real person's life, but it's also a great narrative story where you're like very...
Which I... That's probably my favorite
yeah.
to read.
Memoirs are my fave.
Like, I'm trying to think of my favorite memoirs. Probably Malala.
Oh, I haven't read it.
That one's really good.
One's really
I read
good.
It so when I was really young, so I can't think of it. I mean, I can obviously, you know the story, and
yeah.
you know,
oh,
it was really yeah. interesting to read, mm-hmm. and I mean, she's so inspirational, so
yeah.
I just remember being really touched by it, but yeah, that's probably my favorite one.
Yeah, I love memoirs about, like, from young women. There was another one that I read. Oh man, who was it? It was the Jane Doe in the Stanford case. I can't remember. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I can't remember. Maybe we can.
We can
it,
make
we
can, a list.
Yeah, we can
post
make
it
a
on
list.
The blog. Lollies
I
and Girls
I
blog.
Just can't remember the name of it. But yeah, books are good. Books are good. Books are important. Music is good and important. Did we want to talk about our favorite female artists?
Yeah,
since I brought it up.
Yeah, this is a long one, but I'm sure they'll like it. I'm sure
they'll
like
quick.
It.
We'll be quick with this one.
All right. Amy Winehouse, Lady Gaga, Lana Del Rey. Those are the three artists that shape my personality, my music taste, everything in life. Amy Winehouse, because she was a badass, Back to Black. Fuck Me Pumps. what's the other one that I love so much? Oh, Valerie, obviously. Mm. I mean, all of them. And Gaga, because she was so weird, and I remember in third grade picking up a glue stick, using it as a microphone, singing like Born mm-hmm. This Way, because I really felt like I was born this way. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm a monster. Put my paws up, baby. And she was my first concert. And she was actually my boyfriend's first concert, which I literally die because he's like, she was the first person that came to South Africa. I was like, what the?
That's so funny. Lady Gaga. I know. She makes the rounds.
So that was, I cried for 20 minutes when I saw her.
Yeah.
And I forced my friends to. I, like, made them in the car memorize every song of the Art Pop album, which was her worst rated album. I loved it so,
but you
obviously.
Loved it. Okay,
but
good.
They were like, what the fuck?
That's so funny.
Because it was very weird and artsy, but I liked
it.
Yeah,
but she's weird and artsy, and I love that about her.
And then Lana, I mean, her melodies, her production, her darkness. I think also when I was, like, not the happiest, mm-hmm. she was my comfort zone, and I don't know. I used to want to make music like her and be like her, look like her. Mm-hmm. Not really. I mean, just the way that she presented herself and moved. I thought it was very interesting because she's very mysterious. You don't really know anything about her. Yeah. And she created this whole character and her makeup. And I was just so, like, in love with it.
Yeah, it's cool.
And her poetry. She, yeah. So yeah. Those are
the
three.
Her. I really like her sound, too. I think it's good. My three, I don't have as much detail as you do, but I just have my faves. Love Lizzie McAlpine. She's excellent. She's really young, early 20s. I want to say 21, maybe 22.
Oh, dang.
And she was
I don't know her, so.
Yeah, she was going to UC Berkeley, and then.
Oh, you talked about
Yeah, that. And then she got, she's not, like, super, super famous, but she got some success with her music, and so I think she dropped out, and now she's doing full-time music. Ah, she's so good, so good. She's very simple and,
acoustic?
Yeah, somewhat, yeah, sometimes acoustic. She has a very, I think she's a very good knowledge of jazz, and so.
Did you play me one of her songs?
I did, Erase Me.
I think I remember. Her tone is so insane.
She has a beautiful voice. I love her. And she's so similar to my age. It's just like, wow, you're amazing and you're just like me, you know? I also love Remy Wolf. Also young and super cool. And I just love her music. I think she's doing a really, really good job. And then I love Megan Thee Stallion.
Like, she said that, and I was like, there's no, like, that is shocking.
I do. I know. I know. People are going to see the picture of 16-year-old me, and they're going to be like,
no, but it's like, because they're so, but I heard that from someone else. Okay, wait, you go why you like her.
I just love her. I think that she, I think that she has great lyrics. I think she's, I don't know. They just
gobble me solemnly.
I mean, and sometimes I don't listen to music all the time, like, to really feel something and like sometimes I just listen and I'm like, this just slaps. Like, it's just like, she just sounds good. And I like her, I don't know, I like her flow and I think she's sick. I there's not a Megan song that I don't like. I'm going to be
Dude,
honest.
Dude, that is insane. Like, that really is like so,
which
I could
is so odd for my personality.
No, it is. Yeah. It's like shocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
I really
for
like
me,
Megan.
Like, I respect her. I like how she is in the industry and that she's different and she's the stallion. Ooh. And she's, yeah. But for me, it's a bit too harsh. Like,
it is.
Which, that's not, like, Addie's, like, the sweetest, like
No, I don't think I listen to the lyrics very much. Not because I'm like, oh, it's, I not vulgar or anything. I don't.
No, but
I
it probably care. Motivates you and like I. It's I just, mean, hot I girl just, shit.
Like,
hot girl
I shit. Really just like the beats. I like the beats. Okay. I like the ad libs. The I think that's sick. I don't know. I just like it. I really like.
No,
Miley
that's
Lewis
it.
Ryan. I
that's
think she's cool. She and I liked. I don't know. I liked Savage. I really liked her when she was accepting the Grammy with Beyonce for Savage. I like her personality. I don't know.
No, she has a really genuine. She's cool. She's also been through a lot, and she still has kept it so real. So I like as a person, I think she's amazing. And I do like her music. It's just not my personal like go to. But also, I'm a huge
that
ass.
It's mine, so.
No, it is surprising. Well, that's awesome. That shows you everyone has their own style and their own liking. You don't have to be liked by everyone. I feel like that's kind of the end of like that kind of sums up what everything we talked about. You are not the person for everyone.
No.
And I feel like a lot of us want to be the number one person for everyone. Mm-hmm. But hey, like you like Megan Thee Stallion music. Yeah. I think it's cool, but I don't necessarily listen to it.
You know,
but it's like that with life. Like, not every guy's gonna think that you're cute, and you're not gonna think that every guy's cute. I hope you don't. But
I mean, if you do, chillin', I guess you're a better person than I am. But no, you're so right. It's so important to just, you know, be a person that you like.
Yeah.
Be a person that your 16-year-old self is gonna look up to.
Exactly. That's awesome.
And that's all you gotta do. You know. Because there's 8 billion people in this world. There's a lot of people that are going to like you just for you.
And when you live your truth, the world does reward you. Mm-hmm. The world really does reward you. And that's, my God, I was going to say unpriceable.
It's unpriceable. I feel like that's...
that's priceless. Why that?
Late. We've had a couple glasses of wine.
No, we've had one, chill.
One.
That's unpriceable. It's that's the unpriceable. New. That's a new. That's the new word. That is unpriceable.
And you
that
have to
outfit is unpriceable.
We are gonna start saying that, and
I actually love
okay
that.
With it. We're okay with it. That is unpriceable.
That is. This episode was unpriceable.
This episode is. I was going to say priceless, but I'm not saying that anymore. So, unpriceable AF.
AF. All right, lollies. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really enjoyed this episode. It was so fun.
I had fun, too.
And how do you... I'll be making a post. You want to share your hair and all of that. So, keep up with that on the Instagram. And yeah, I mean, I'll show her your comments, and if she wants to see, I think she will.
I will. Maybe I'll re-download Instagram. Well, actually, no, I won't. But
I'll show you.
I'll show you.
But yeah, I love you guys. Have a great rest of your week, and see you next Wednesday.
Bye.